This is the September 26th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Naomi Bloom. She's at Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, Wisconsin. Logan Kimmel is here from Roach Ag Marketing out of Naperville, Illinois. And Arlen Suderman joins us from StoneX in Kansas City, Missouri. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to hear us at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. Let's get a list of items that we should discuss from our panelists to begin with. I'll start with you, Logan Kimmel at Roach Ag Marketing. What's on your list today?
Yeah, Todd, I think this would be a good week to maybe discuss as producers are getting in to harvest more aggressively and being faced maybe with some marketing decisions. What are some opportunities that the grain markets have given us here in the past week that might be a little better outlook or better situation, better opportunity than we were sitting maybe a month ago? I think it'd be a great opportunity to discuss with Naomi and Arlen about the marketplace dynamics here as we sit today, as a lot of the producers are coming into harvest and having to make decisions.
Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing on your list.
Yeah, also adding on, making sure we're talking about cash sales for producers on this, you know, nice rally that we've had so far, and also talking about what possibly could make the markets go higher from here, what would it take, or what could make it come to a screaming halt and have prices just retreat and go lower, and just having producers be ready for either scenario to happen and what they can do about it.
And finally, Arlen Suderman at StoneX, what's on your list?
Yeah, I'm looking at the export pace that we're seeing for corn, soybeans, and wheat. What are the prospects of seeing that improve? Some of the rising tensions with China over the past week that really haven't been discussed much in the media, haven't got much coverage. And then maybe we could talk about the update on Brazil weather and how much of a threat is that or opportunity for us here in the United States.
Let's take up the rising tensions with China. What's on the list?
Well, I would say the there's been ongoing tensions there as far as trade, as we've been deleveraging, and the Biden administration just discussed putting on a complete ban on importing software and hardware that is used for auto driving of cars, which would pretty much automatically totally block any Chinese cars coming here. And so the tensions are going higher. But even more than that, there was a summit that involved, I believe it was India and Japan and Australia this last week, where the lead item on the table was Biden talking about the threat that China is to us. And then as those meetings broke up, we saw China fire an intercontinental ballistic missile on Wednesday morning into the high seas of the Pacific. They said it was just kind of an annual test, but they haven't done this since 1980. And so clearly seemed to be sending a message. So does this, you know, does this mean that they're getting serious about ramping things up? Taiwan, what does it mean? Russia and China have been having playing war games, so to speak, off of Japan, doing military exercises, maybe is a more proper way to say it. And they've been dramatically increasing the military activities with intensive missile firings, etc., around Taiwan, and what some analysts are calling grayscale war, where it kind of normalizes the incursions. And you get kind of used to it around them and stuff. So things are really, what are the odds of something that could impact trade? Probably still relatively low, but they seem to be escalating. And if we ever wake up with a headline that China's made a move on Taiwan or something like that, I would think that that would be fairly bearish on expectations that it would hurt the ability of Chinese buyers to be able to purchase our commodities.
Like the United States, the Chinese have also moved to limit the ability of U.S. manufacturers to export connected vehicles or the software to China. It's a tit-for-tat function that starts trade wars generally. Do you have fears that soybeans will become a pawn, as they have in the past, no matter which presidential candidate is elected?
Well, I think this is a concern, not necessarily that they're going to put a tariff on. I think that they're going to continue to buy everything they can from Brazil and Argentina and just buy what the remainder that they need to fill the rest of their needs from the United States. This has been the trend really over the last 6 or 7 years. And that's just continuing, because as Brazil and Argentina increase their production levels, it means it's that much less they need to buy from us. And even now, as we look, they have very little soybeans on the books right now for December and January, and they still have significant needs yet to book for November shipment. But yet they're kind of going hand to mouth. Their buyers say, well, we've been told to go hand to mouth so that we're not seen as political affecting the presidential election. But if you wanted to be apolitical, you would think that you would purchase at the normal levels. And they're purchasing at a much lower level than a normal level at this point. And you'd say, well, maybe they just don't need the soybeans, or they're just pulling back overall, but they're purchasing new crop Brazil soybeans at a typical level and almost purchased 60% of their commitments for March already from Brazil.
So, Naomi, when you think about this, I suppose it's the pace at which China is purchasing U.S. soybeans at this point. And that's how USDA generally would deal with the World Ag supply and demand estimates, that it is normal until it's kind of not, meaning normal following whatever policies are in place and the expectations. How concerned are you about the pace of the export of soybeans to China for new crop?
Well, I think Arlen's points are quite valid, that they're going to get the bulk of their needs from South America, but because they need to secure product from both hemispheres, they'll buy what they need from us, but keep us at bay from the standpoint of they don't want to, let the world know how much they maybe need our product or don't need our product. It just creates that little bit of vibe of uncertainty where it lets them have the element of control, because we're all wondering and watching what China's going to do. My concern personally might be that with some of the recent purchases that they made, if the weather becomes wonderful in Brazil, and if the dry weather there suddenly comes to a halt, do we start to see them do some cancellations? That's where my concern comes into play. But also, I think they're watching that South American weather as well. And if it stays dry there, then I think you'll see them pick up the pace on what they need to purchase from the United States.
Logan Kimmel, as you think about soybeans for the new crop, it is dependent, clearly, on the export market. How much of a concern do you have, if at all?
Well, I think it's definitely a big concern, considering we're in that window where we need to be shipping and selling the most, led by China. So I think Arlen's done a pretty good job over the course of the last few weeks pointing this out. On our pace, we really need to see that pick up. And I think the dryness in Brazil is starting to play an effect on the market maybe, but really that comes to mid to later October, where there are rains projected to hit that most of that region. So it's in a very, very important area right now here in the bean markets that needs to be watched, as well as the weather.
So, Logan, I'll stay with you for just a second. You suggested there were opportunities within the grain market that have been available in the last couple of weeks to farmers. Point those out for me on the soybean side. We'll get to corn in just a bit. And tell me how you might have or should take advantage of it.
Yeah, the soybean market has been the most active here to the upside in the last week. So you look back to what we've just discussed on the fundamental side, potential issues that would maybe be perceived as bearish. So if you're a soybean producer, we've just had a nice rally from the middle to end of August to the tune of about $1 on new crops. So I look at this past summer where you really didn't have a nice seasonal run in June and July, and you continued to sell off. So majority of the folks, I believe, might be a little behind on their new crop soybean marketing. So if you look at the dynamic and the macro environment in the bean market and all the grains, I think there's a lot of risk going forward that we've discussed and an election. So after a dollar rally on new crop soybeans, I think you got to take a moment, even if you're busy right now with harvest, and look at where we're at, look at your production, your bottom line. And if you do need to be selling soybeans off the combine and don't like to store, I think this rally has presented you an opportunity to maybe get caught up. If you do like to put soybeans in the bin, there's some excellent carry opportunities as well on the board out to July or the summer, where we saw those futures trade north of $11 here this morning. And then also take a look at November of 25 did trade above 11 as well here today and reversed a little bit. So I guess the focus on for a producer of soybeans, the bean market has been an opportunity, I think it still is, to get caught up and understand that there is still a lot of downside risk if certain things turn, including the weather or tensions with China.
Naomi, have you been encouraging your clientele to make cash sales for soybeans?
Yes, absolutely. With this dollar rally that we've had, the November beans are just crawling closer to that 100-day moving average on daily charts near the 1080 level. And that was kind of a price high from late July. So we are at a point where this rally has been a gift in sorts because of the weather turning dry in South America, funds exiting those short positions to show profits on the books for third quarter, the dry weather concerns here in the United States that maybe those some of those beans and from that late August heat might have been zapped on yield potential. So a dollar rally, definitely an opportunity to get more current with your cash sales and to start thinking ahead regarding, you know, what would it take the market to rally from here? We've got a quarterly stocks report on Monday. That's the next kind of big piece of market news that we have from a supply-demand perspective. Otherwise, we're going to be relying on all of these outside market influences and factors for our grain markets as well. So there's a lot of balls being juggled in the air, and you have to just maintain focus on what's in front of you. This $1 price rally has truly been a gift, and we just want to make sure producers are able to take advantage of that, especially those who are selling beans off the combine here at harvest.
Arlen Suderman, USDA has the soybean yield at 53.2. As Naomi mentioned, there is some thought that that might come down yet, and that will make producers hesitant on the idea that maybe the price can go higher, or maybe it's simply already gone higher. What is your assessment of this marketplace?
Well, I'm always cautious about putting too much into early harvest results, because sometimes your most stressed fields are the ones that are ready for harvest first. But so we do tend to get mixed results. But I would say on corn, I've been overall thinking that the yield results are confirming the production estimates that we've seen to this point. But when on the soybeans, if there's a bias, it seems to be that there's more disappointing yields than there are impressive yields. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see these yields start to erode lower. And starting next week, we'll get private survey estimates starting to come out again. This time around, they'll have some harvest influence. At this point, though, I would say that probably if there's going to be a market mover, it's probably going to have a bigger impact on the demand side as far as changes that we see to the balance sheet than the supply side. I don't expect to see a big enough yield change to really be a significant market mover. I think that the market's priced in close enough to what the size of the crop is. If anything, we're just tightening around the margins a little bit, and the primary focus is going to be on South America and what impact that has on our exports going forward.
Your expectations, you wanted to talk about the weather there. For normal weather conditions to return to them, even if it's a bit late at this time?
Yeah, the forecast models are showing a wetter tendency toward the middle of the month of October, but they've been fluctuating a lot. And it's one of those things until the rains actually start falling in center west Brazil, your confidence is low. Our people in Brazil aren't overly concerned right now about the soybean crop because the rains can come late, they can plant late, and they can still grow a big soybean crop. The bigger concern longer term is that you have a late soybean crop because the rains came late, therefore they planted late, is that pushes harvest later, and then that therefore pushes planting of the safrinha or the winter corn crop later, which increases the risk for it. Now, I don't want to get overly bullish on corn because of that, because we've had late corn crops that were record crops in the past as well, but it does increase the risk for corn. But I'm less concerned about the actual size of the soybean crop at this point, because even though the rains may come late, developing La Niñas historically tend to give you good crops.
Naomi Bloom, you've already addressed to some extent what it might take to move the market higher or lower. On the corn side, might it be that there are more soybeans in Argentina and that will leave the world wanting of more corn bushels?
Yes, that's been talked about here recently over the past couple of weeks as a possibility going forward. So what I had been hearing was that maybe there was a projection of approximately 15% reduction of acres from traditional Argentina corn planting. It's going to get switched over to the soybeans because they're having issues with the leafhopper pest and getting it under control. So they're going to plant more beans instead. So Argentina, though, is the world's third largest exporter. They're not like a huge, huge exporter, but it's another source for China to buy from so they can continue their spider web of being able to purchase corn, soybeans from both hemispheres. So the risk then, of course, is if we have, you know, a pretty good U.S. crop here, but now suddenly the global carryout, when you look at what's happening around the world, now you have this perception that global corn carryout is starting to inch lower. And markets trade on perception. So we're going to be watching to see how that weather is in South America for how it's affecting first crop corn production in Brazil, because that first crop corn, everything they grow in Brazil, they keep. And then we're going to be watching what Argentina is doing for their corn production and how it's faring overall, because we already know it's potentially going to be the smaller crop because of smaller planted acres. So now we're going to be watching and wondering, okay, what do they have that they can export to the world? And then the hope would be that the world comes back to America, back to the American farmers, and buys more of our product. And that could bring then our U.S. carryout numbers down as well. So there is some possibility for higher corn prices in the future. But now you're really asking the stars to align in terms of, well, bad weather, essentially, for South America. We would need strong export demand here, which means we also need the U.S. dollar to continue to inch lower. And we have a lot of politics to get through, 39 days until that U.S. election. So it's going to be a lot of market volatility. And one technical thing to point out, there is potentially an inverted head and shoulders formation forming on some of these corn charts. So what that's saying is that if we can find some friendly news, the market might be chomping at the bit to rally another 25 to 30 cents if the friendly news can emerge. But if we don't see that friendly news, then this recent rally that we've had, this 30-cent rally, may be as good as it gets in the short term, and we see a price slide back a little bit lower.
And, of course, time is the issue on the corn market as well as it relates to South America, because the second crop corn, the one that gets exported, is during our growing season, midst of it, as harvest. So that's just prior to that, about the time we're planting would be when we might think about a possible issue there, I suppose. And I don't recall when the Argentine crop would come, but both of them are much later and don't have a lot of an impact in the near-term marketplace. The question then is there anything that producers can do in their cash sales side? For instance, if they're looking at the carry in the market, and they're being encouraged to go ahead and make the cash sale and deliver in May or June or July, do they make a different plan for part of that crop?
Well, I would say that the producer, if they're doing some cash sales and they're doing some forward contracting, be willing to look at some type of re-ownership strategy, maybe using a call option strategy, just in case the stars align to where price of corn works higher. It would be more of a fixed risk strategy with this marketplace, but that would be my thought. just to try to stay a step ahead on your marketing decision, because we still are dealing with bigger carryout levels for right now with this moment of history.
Logan Kimmel, bring that to the near term and what opportunities the marketplace has offered and what you're thinking about cash sales today for corn.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall the market, you've seen in the corn market and the soybeans, the fund manager reducing their net short position and offsetting at a rapid pace that's being met with some hedge pressure, but nonetheless giving us a rally. So I think producers, as they're coming into town with bushels, if you do need to be selling across the scale or have a storage issue, I think reowning, attaching a call option strategy, yes, is fixed risk. You do set a floor by getting your grain priced and avoid 20-25 cents in charges. So nearby, I think that'd be maybe the better route to go here, as we've seen the futures rally 30 cents. And then if in the event you're a producer that does like to store corn or can, you've seen the corn market also give you some good carry opportunities, say out to May or even July. So I think it's going to be important, if we do see this rally continue, get some target orders in and make some incremental sales on the way up. If we continue to see this pre-harvest or mid-harvest rally, this gift rally continue, because with the amount of risk we hold in the unknown, the macro events going forward, we can certainly see maybe the funds get back to net neutral. But if things start turning more bearish, they might put a handful of these short positions back on and see these prices decline. So I think that'd be, you know, in the short term here with producers having to make these decisions into harvest, I think it's important to be following along here after this rally.
Arlen Suderman, why did the marketplace deviate from what was the 2014 pattern? And I know it didn't have to follow that. And I'm wondering whether it was just mostly the interest rate cut that the Federal Reserve did and the expectation that that was coming, because it was clearly forecast by them, that caused the funds to get out or to get out of their short positions. And is there really enough lift in the market to continue to move higher?
Well, I would put this in perspective that we've seen a 0.86 statistical correlation, which is a very strong correlation between our the StoneX commodity index and the five-year break-even inflation rate. And the five-year break-even inflation rate had been heading sharply lower for much of the last couple of years, but in particular since the equity collapse of the yen carry trade unwind back at the end of July, 1st of August. And then when we saw the Fed do the 50 basis point rate cut, it reversed higher. Now, it's not significantly higher. It may just be an aberration. But when that happened, when the five-year break-even started moving higher and we started seeing talk of too big of a rate cut that may bring reinflation back, suddenly the funds were unwinding their short positions. This was something that I forecast last winter that we would see happen in the second quarter of this year. It happened in late April as well. We said at that time the fundamentals were not strong enough to sustain prices at that level, so it'd get a short covering rally opportunity, take advantage of it. And it passed and prices went back down again. So we need to keep in perspective this current short covering rally is an opportunity at harvest time for helping us catch up on sales, as has been mentioned by the other two. And we need to keep that in perspective and not just when it starts a rally thinking, hey, maybe it can keep going. We still have big supplies. But I do think reinflation, because of the Fed's aggressive rate cut schedule now based on the dot plot graphic, etc., does present some opportunities for the funds to be to manage supply and demand at a little higher level than the bleak low levels they might have otherwise prior to them coming out with that.
In short, does that mean they'll be buyers and longs in the marketplace?
Well, I think we need to see just what kind of reinflation we have. If it's just very modest reinflation, no, it would just mean they don't want to have as big a short positions. And they can still be short depending on the asset and how bearish the fundamentals are. But if we start seeing more significant reinflation pressures, that's when history tells us they want to have some length in the commodities. And there's more odds that they'll start building some ownership at that point.
I'd like from each of you, and this is a tough ask probably, but how far along do you think producers should be at this point in sales, and how quickly should they get there if they're not there? So should they be 40% sold in soybeans, 60% sold in soybeans, where in corn? And given that you're all of the mind that sales need to be made, how far along do, how much of their crop should they really have marketed going into the harvest season? And I think, Naomi, I'll start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. On the bean side of it, I would say that this rally that we've had, considering that a lot of producers had not much sold from this summer, because some of those targets just came within, you know, pennies of people getting hit, but they just didn't get hit. So now is your opportunity to get sold. And with the beans, I'd be a little bit more aggressive. I would definitely try to get more like to 60 to 70% sold is my personal opinion on cash sales right now, just because we know that there's going to be this potential for more acres coming from Argentina. We know that there's going to be another big Brazil crop unless Mother Nature has something planned. So global carryout is going to be on the bigger side of things. On corn, though, I think I'm going to, dare I give a glimmer of hope here, but I think that because we're going to see the less acres out of South America, and I think that because we are going to see U.S. demand just kind of continue to pick up here, I'd put a halt on about 50% for sales at this time, but I would have definite strategies in place to take advantage of any rallies that can occur this winter as we start to get a little bit excited about the weather in South America, or as we start to see funds maybe square positions a little bit more. I would have some solid strategies and targets going forward for additional cash sales, probably come the Christmas time. That last week of December into the first couple weeks of January oftentimes is another big push higher for prices. And I think that's going to be your next opportunity to make some additional cash sales at that time.
Logan Kimmel, your plan?
Yeah, very similar. And I think to touch on the soybeans, we did put out a sell signal here this morning for new crop soybeans. And we feel about the 50% mark is appropriate, more looking at where we've been here in the last couple weeks after a dollar rally. And more emphasis on the soybeans due to a lot of folks needing to just sell beans off the combine for storage or to pay bills. So that would be, you know, maybe on the front burner to get caught up and tidied up on new crop soybean sales to the tune of maybe 50%. On the corn, I'd agree with the comments on and potentially a later, better-looking corn story potentially developing, and maybe leave some room on the corn marketing to put it in the bin and use carry opportunities if we see that develop here. Seasonally, 5, 10, 15-year seasonals usually point for some better-looking markets here through October. So if we start maybe seeing that play out here in the next week, through the middle of October, I think that could be an opportunity on the corn market then to get caught up, similar to the soybeans.
And Arlen Suderman?
I think Naomi and Logan have said it well overall. I do think that we have more opportunities for corn and wheat as we go in the last half of the marketing year to see stronger exports. We've talked a lot about South America, but Black Sea still has significant problems there. And I think wheat will end up helping to support corn as we go, but that's down the road. But soybeans, I have some significant concerns. And I think it comes down to there is no plan that fits every farmer. Every farmer is in a different position. So it comes down to the question, what is your situation? How much loans, how leveraged are you? What can you afford to lose? If you can't afford to lose, then you need to have a more aggressive plan to protect the equity you've built in the farm.
And let's get a final word from each of you now. Arlen Suderman from StoneX in Kansas City, Missouri. We'll start with you today.
Yeah, the Black Sea's got tight supplies. And as we talk to our sources there in the Black Sea, The exporters are saying that they're aggressively exporting wheat now because they expect to have significant export quotas put on for the last half of the marketing year that will really reduce, and those quotas will be handed out based on what they've exported in the first half. So they're trying to get it out the door now. But once you start significantly cutting what comes out of Russia, then that tends to focus the world market on how tight world exporter supplies are the rest of the world for wheat. And so if you start strengthening wheat prices, then you start providing support underneath of corn. And I think because of the shorter Black Sea crop and the reduced Argentine production Naomi was talking about, we do start to see those exports come back for corn as well, and the market starts feeling a little bit better about things.
Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing, your final word for the day?
I think the biggest drivers going forward will be South American weather, what it is or what it isn't in terms of production for crop potential there, but also the geopolitical turmoil around the world. I think those two things might be some of our biggest drivers and with U.S. elections. So expect just a lot of volatility over the next 2 months. It's going to be potentially nauseating, but that's where if you lay down your plans for marketing ahead of time, helps to just reduce some of that emotion that could come along and stop and look at the charts and think about where cash sale targets should be and just get those orders in place with your elevator right now so you can just be prepared for whatever, you know, comes over the next couple months.
And Logan Kimmel from Roach Ag Marketing.
Yeah, I think we've done a good job today here touching on the corn, bean, grain markets. Something I'm keeping an eye out for here. We've had a lot of movement and volatility in some outside markets, mostly on the buying side. You've got gold and silver making good runs here. You have sugar, oats. A lot of these outside markets are moving or have been moving here in a big way. Something to keep an eye on, and I think that speaks to the macro environment that we're going through and probably will here for the next few months. You've had some really sizable moves in markets, money flow moving around. You know, if we see that ease off and some selling pressure and some outside commodities set in, keep in mind what that could potentially weigh on the grain markets as well going forward.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find us online anytime you'd like. Listen to the whole program at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists, including Arlen Suderman, Logan Kimmel, and Naomi Bloom. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.